Naked to the Hangman, written by Andrew Taylor and read by Philip Franks.
And naked to the hangman's noose, the morning clocks will wring a neck God made for other use than strangling in a string. A. Houseman, A Shropshire Lad, Number 9. Palestine. However hard he tries to avoid it, Ricky returns in his dreams. Occasionally he glimpses it in his waking life too, when tired or worried. But does he ever really leave? He thinks of it as equivalent to the hiss of static in a radio broadcast. Always there, but sometimes you notice it more than others. The pattern is fixed. This is how the worst of it happens. It is already growing dark, the light fading stealthily and swiftly from a sky streaked with purple and gold in the west. The drive has taken them longer than they expected. The gates of the compound stand open. Anything worth looting has already gone. The lieutenant tells the driver to reverse the truck into the compound and park immediately inside the gates in case they have to leave in a hurry. Ricky climbs out of the cab, and the stored heat of the day bounces up from the cracked concrete. Apart from themselves, there is no one in sight, either within the compound or on the scrubby hillside that slopes up from the dusty road. He knows that someone will be watching. Someone always is. He waits with the lieutenant while the sergeant lets down the back flap. The rattle of chain and the clash of metal are terrifyingly loud in the silence. Something, or someone, scrabbles among a pile of rusting oil drums in the corner of the compound. "Bloody cats," the officer says, an expression of hope rather than a statement of fact. He is a young man with a prominent Adam's apple that jerks up and down like a yo-yo. One by one, the soldiers jump down from the lorry. All of them are carrying rifles. The last one out pulls a minesweeper after him. They look so young, Ricky thinks. Children playing at soldiers. And not for the first time, they make him feel old. "Right," says the lieutenant, pretending a confidence he does not feel. "We check the perimeter first, then we go inside." They work their way along the rusting fences of the compound. At the back is a row of sheds, already derelict. Ricky and the sergeant examine the external walls of the main building, where the workshops are. The windows are barred. The surviving glass is opaque with dust. It is not much more than 6 months since the Finbows left, but already the place has become an unloved ruin. Man and nature have seen to that. Ricky knows this place has been chosen on purpose. The Finbows are significant not for themselves, but because of the piano. And without the piano, none of them would have any reason to be here. "We take it slowly," the lieutenant says in a low monotone, as if talking to himself in somebody else's dream. "Take nothing for granted." The big doors are large enough for a lorry to pass through, and one leaf is standing open. Young though they are, the soldiers have become expert at this. They enter slowly, one by one, each covering the other. They follow the man with the minesweeper. Two torch beams sweep up and down the interior of the long, dirty building. Ricky hears the fast, noisy breathing of the fat boy on his left. The boy on his right is chewing gum with his mouth open. He makes a squelching sound that reminds Ricky of himself as a child walking across a muddy field on a rainy afternoon. "Christ," says the heavy breather. "Can you smell something?" Nobody answers. It's not a smell, not yet, but something less defined, a taint in the air.
"Nothing in here, it seems,"
the officer says, swinging round and bringing the barrel of his Sten gun in a lazy arc after him. "There's a smaller workshop through the door at the end," Ricky says. He's talked to a man who used to work here in the old days. A couple of officers beside it. The officer nods but says nothing. His Adam's apple bobs up and down. Doorways are always bad. You can never tell what's on the other side. They constrict movement too, leaving you vulnerable. He pushes the door open. The taint is now a smell. The torches rake the emptiness beyond. No tripwires. Another concrete floor.